Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, you are live from CBS.
I'm at CBSSports.com in sunny South Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I am back in South Florida for reasons that do not make much sense to me. But we're going to make the most of it and feel like it's a good thing and move on with our lives because I don't want to think about being back here too much.
I feel like you're trying to move there at this point.
Yeah, I guess I should think about it. No, wait, I shouldn't because I don't want to get divorced. By the way, I just want to make a shout out to my wife right now.
Okay. She listens probably.
That's exactly what happens. Is she wants to listen to my voice more.
Right.
I had an 8:30 flight to Florida yesterday, and she had an 8 a.m. flight to Pensacola, Florida yesterday, where we're going on vacation after the draft. And she's going down there early. And so we're there, and she's trying to make it through all the – like, she's late, and so I have to drop her off a curbside and then go park and try and catch up. And she's hauling this car seat because she refuses to check it because she's like, no, it'll get lost or it'll get broken, and it's too expensive. We can't afford it. I got to take it with me. So she's hauling my two-year-old, her giant bag, and this car seat through the airport. She checks the bag. She gets through security. She's running to catch it. The flight gets delayed. The flight gets delayed 4 hours.
Oh.
She's at the airport with my two-year-old and this car seat at DIA for four – it turned into 5 hours.
That's not going to put you in a good mood.
And I had to leave to go catch my flight, and I tried to get out of mine, but I couldn't get out. I couldn't get onto a later flight to stay with her. Like, so I had to like walk away, leaving my wife and child stuck in this airport. I felt like such a tool. I felt like the worst person ever. Like, the rest of the day, I was like randomly trying to help every mom I ran into. Like, here, let me get that bag for you. And they're like, don't touch me. Like,
you're just, get away from my kids. You're just this strange man running up to women in the airport.
Yes. Like, seriously, this woman was like struggling with her car seat. I was like, do you need some help? She's like, no, I got it. Thanks. And I was like, I'm just trying to make it up. I'm trying to pay it forward.
Let me be somebody's father.
Exactly. So let's do a mock draft, man.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll go through the lottery. That should be long enough, right?
Yeah, that should be long enough.
That should be plenty long. You wanna go first, or you want me to go first? We'll switch off each one.
Hey, this is your podcast, man. You're number one. You should go first.
Well, I feel like Cleveland's trying to give me the number one pick anyway. So
they're trying to trade anybody who'll take it.
They're trying to give it away. I'll take the number one pick, and you know, as much as I want to believe in Alex Len, no, I don't. He's not good. I don't believe in Alex Len. I believe in Nerlens Noel. I tried to break down their games on CBSSports.com yesterday. If you get a chance, check out the big man post I did. I tried to relate it to today's game, and with the little system I devised, Nerlens Noel rated as the top big man that's prepared to play in today's game. I believe in that. I believe in him. I think, you know, a year from now, we're going to think it was silly that he wasn't considered to be the unanimous number one pick. I'm going Nerlens Noel for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
One of us is going to have to change in the next 36 hours because you and I agree on Alex Len, and we can't have that where you and I agree on a prospect. Like, this can't happen. So one of us is going to have to move on Len.
I'm not moving.
I couldn't believe when people thought he was better. Like, I still don't understand why people think he's better than Rudy Gobert. I can't possibly begin to understand it. I don't get it at all.
Well, I mean, he's like the exact same player as Steven Adams, and Steven Adams isn't good either.
That seems to be an issue. Not being good seems to be a problem when you're a prospect.
It's not an ideal prospect to grab. You usually want to grab guys who are good.
It's a bold choice, really, to go with somebody who's not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest humble brag you can do as an organization is take a crappy player with a high draft pick.
And yet, with the number two pick in the CBSSports.com pick and troll mock draft, I will take, for Orlando, I'll take Ben McLemore. I just think this is a slam dunk. I think this is so easy. I think this is pretty much a lock. I think as long as Cleveland doesn't get twitchy and take McLemore number one, that he'll definitely go number two to the Magic. I like him as a creator guard, as somebody who can finish. He can be their primary scorer. It gives them a building block. I like this on pretty much every conceivable level. I like that it opens up their ability to trade Aaron Aflalo and get maximum value back for him. I just think that McLemore is, you know, I hate using that term, but it's a slam dunk. Monk. It's just, I don't think there's any reason not for the Magic to go any other direction here.
Might I ask you a couple of questions about this pick?
Sure.
Why McLemore over Oladipo? And I'm not arguing. I'm just interested in your reasoning.
Because with the number two pick for the Magic, you're looking to hit a home run. I like Oladipo a lot, as I've compared him to a shorter Luol Deng. Now, his wingspan causes complications with that.
Sure.
But I just like him from the perspective of, here's a really dogged defender who I feel like can learn to be a better three-point shooter, can work on that and become the shooter that he needs to be, because I know a lot of the threes and Ds guys don't start off as great shooters and work their way into it.
Yeah.
I like Oladipo on a lot of levels, but McLemore, if he works out, is going to be a dynamic, exhilarating, very exciting guard. I will say I have one hesitation, and yeah, you'll probably go with me on this. Doug Gottlieb on CBS Sports Network and their mock draft, they did a live mock draft of the first five on TV the other night. And guess who Doug took?
With number two?
Yeah.
Trey Burke?
CJ McCollum.
Really?
That high.
He's going to be good.
I was thinking this morning, I was reading Brian Windhorst of ESPN's terrific article on the oral history of the 2003 draft.
Oh, I've got that tabbed. I haven't read it yet.
It's so good. And then there's a line about how Miami was concerned about Wade because they're like, oh, well, he's like an undersized shooting guard that's trying to be a point guard. And I was like, this completely revolutionizes half the guys in this draft for me. Like,
yeah,
like that idea. And it's like, well, they're not Dwayne Wade. It's like, well, that's true. But I do like McCollum from the perspective of him being kind of that same kind of model. I really like that idea because I think whoever gets McCollum is getting an absolute steal. So I really like that one. But I just think when you look at the size, the athleticism, the overall package, and the fact that he's still so young and can develop so much, I love McLemore for the Magic. And the best thing is, like, the Magic are in a position where if they whiff, it's fine because they need to set themselves up for 2014 anyway.
Right.
I just think that McLemore is like a perfect combination of for timing and development and skill set for them.
That's true. The Magic certainly have to wig out for Wiggins. Am I right?
Going to dignify that with a response. We're moving on now.
We'll just move on. Well, I have one more question about McLemore. A quick one. Do the concerns about his like draft workouts being out of shape, does that worry you? Because I'm actually kind of conflicted. I don't like that about him. I feel like it's probably just him listening to the wrong people, and that'll get ironed out down the road. But it is a little bit concerning that he's going to job interviews and he's out of shape. He's not prepared.
If you did like that about him, you would have taken your laziness factor, like your laziness and confidence factor, way too far. Like, no, I kind of like the fact that he's been eating ding dongs and hanging out. Like,
in fact, I expect him to be dribbling up the court with a soda in his hand.
Exactly. I am worried about it. I guess part of it for me, I worry about him also as a Kansas prospect, because I just know that like Bill Self's history is just insanely spotty in terms of the guys that he's brought in working out. I think Bill Self is a phenomenal college coach, but
yeah,
it's not like anybody from Kentucky, like Archie Goodwin. I'm like, well, he'll probably be good. Why? Well, Calipari liked him, and that's enough for me.
Right.
Versus Bill Self, I'm kind of like, anybody that Self liked outside of really the Heinrich and Collison, it's kind of concerning. I don't like you said, like obviously don't like it, but I do feel from what's been told, it's mostly a matter of his management being bad, and it's just like. One, I don't like workouts much anyway anymore. I used to be much higher on them. At this point, I like measurables and what they've shown in games. And those are the two things that I feel like are a good combination where you can say, like, well, he didn't look good in college. Yeah, but look at the measurables.
Yeah.
And then I can say, like, well, his measurables don't look that great. Yeah, but look at the skill that he showed in college. Like, those kind of – that combination of two factors I like. The workouts I feel are insane. I feel like it's idiotic that these guys get – fall in love with prospects because you see them in an empty gym working out one-on-one or against chairs. Like, it's just absurd.
Right. No, I agree. The workout process is really weird. I think it's more to like kind of get to know them than it is a basketball thing, but it's still, that's a weird process to put someone through. I'll move on.
Again, you got to read that Windhorst thing. Look, read the comments about Darko and it just blows your mind.
I can't even imagine.
It just blows your mind.
I'm excited for that part. I'll move on to the third pick, Washington Wizards. All right, now I'm conflicted on this. I'm going to go Otto Porter, but I've been watching stuff on him all morning. I have fallen completely out of love with Otto Porter. I'm not a fan anymore.
you mentioned his passing, but if you're a combo forward, do you really need to be able to pass that well? And isn't that something that you can get better at, just to be serviceable in that regard?
Well, the problem is that they're touting that as like a strength. Like, hey, look at it, he's a good passer.
I'm like, really? And this shows you kind of like the differential in what can happen. And it's not like this every year. Usually there's a better kind of system. In this draft, I've heard such conflicting things on everything. I hear people telling me that Alex Len has a more polished offensive game than other guys in this draft. And I'm like, are you high? Like, you know, what have you done? And I'm not just saying that because like Draft Express has unpolished offensively on their weaknesses list. Like that was the first thing I noticed when I started going through video of Len to be like, all right, what are people seeing? I was like, this guy, no.
You start watching Alex Len, you're like, huh, that's a potential number one pick, huh?
I really like Porter in terms of I've gotten really into because of his wingspan and his frame. I feel like he's going to be a very strong combo forward. I like that a lot. And I like using him, and I overuse this phrase, so I don't care. I really like him as conceptually as the tip of the spear. So you use him in combination with Beal and with Wall distributing, and all of a sudden you've got like a nice set of weaponry to kind of attack the rim, find open shots, and knock down some jumpers.
Well, here's my problem, though. He can't attack the rim. He's not good on the dribble. He moves well off the ball. I'll give him that. Like, I think Wall can find him for a bunch of backdoor cuts, and that's fine, but then the defense adjusts, and they make him shoot. And I know he shot 42% from three. I don't buy his jumper. He's got to do it a couple years in the NBA for me to buy it, because I just think we see too many of these guys have an awful shooting year and then a great shooting year right before they come out of the draft, and then we're just looking at the recency, and I'm like, well, then why was that other year completely the opposite?
And you make some great
points. That's what I worry about.
You make some great points. The problem is you can do this entire the same process with almost everyone in the draft. Like, there's just not a bunch of guys that you're like, I like their overall game.
Oh, sure. Like, I think defensively, I think he'll be good. Like, I think he still has a couple of things. Like, he's not that strong. But that can easily develop. That's very easy to develop once he gets in an NBA weight room. And his length is great. I think he'll be a good defender. Oddly enough, I don't think he plays like him, but when I watch him move, he moves like Rudy Gay. Does that make sense? Like the way he runs, the way I don't know if that's I'm not even saying that as a good or a bad thing. It's just, I watched him a bunch this morning, just to kind of get refreshed on him. I was like, huh, it looks like Rudy Gay out there. Just from the way he runs, like it's a weird thing, but offensively, I don't see it. Like, and you can get by if he ends up being an all NBA second team defender. That's a great thing for the third pick in this draft. Like, that's a great pick. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. I'm not nearly as high on him as I was yesterday.
Number four, Bobcats. Can we trade this pick for cash? Is that an option? Because I kind of want them to trade this pick for cash.
Well, I like I don't know who said it this morning. Maybe Andy Katz or maybe it was Chad Ford, but apparently Rich Cho is really into Cody Zeller now. So maybe take that into consideration for your fourth pick. Do it. Do it. You want them to tank for Wiggins, so just give it to them.
I'm trying to. I mean, I don't even know.
What do you think? I mean, it pretty much turns out that this rumor is not true, because it was reported as a rumor, and then everyone came out and said, no, we're hearing the exact opposite. But what about the idea of them giving up on Michael Kidd-Gilchrist right away? Did that make any sense to you, though?
I mean, it does from the perspective of if you watch him for a year and you're just like, he's never going to be able to hit a jump shot.
Yeah.
If you're just like, he's not going to be able to hit a jump shot. And you're like, you know, can we get better value for him now than in 3 years when he's Tony Allen?
Right.
You know, I can see that logic. I still like his athleticism. I still want to see if he can develop some sort of offensive game. Because his jumper is kind of spit out intermittently. Like, there's signs where you're like, oh, it looks pretty good. The overall numbers are horrible, but you look at his jumper and you're like, there's some signs of life there. And then sometimes he's got that hitch and you're just like, that's not good. That's a train wreck.
Ooh, question for you. MKG or Otto Porter?
Oof. Right now I'll take Porter, just from the perspective of Man, it's tough because I really liked MKG last year.
Yeah.
No, I'll take MKG. I'll stick with MKG. I still think that he can finish off the dribble and attack the rim better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what? No, I know what I'm doing. Number four, the Charlotte Bobcats take Victor Oladipo.
Wow, look at you.
Yep.
Curveball.
So the idea here is if MKG is never going to be able to shoot threes and Oladipo has a questionable jumper, they are sure to get Andrew Wiggins in 2014.
And then, I mean, in theory, like, let's just say, all right, this team would never score. But, like, a lineup of Biombo, Wiggins, MKG, Oladipo, Kemba Walker, that's a really fun defensive team.
Yeah, it really is.
They'll score 68 points a game, but that's a fun defensive team.
You know, I thought about taking McCollum here and just being like, screw it, let's run out Kemba Walker and McCollum and just have fun.
Yeah.
I guess for the big thing is I love the idea of Oladipo as a threes and D guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love, I really do love that idea. And so, I kind of want to go with that there. And then, you know, if you can play, yeah. And if you do wind up getting Wiggins, then that wouldn't that be great? That way you've got MKG and Wiggins are kind of a combo small ball 4-3-4 kind of combination, and then you got Oladipo who's able to just be your primary defender and you know hit threes. I like that from that perspective, especially I guess drafting Oladipo allows you to get maximum return and a sign and trade for Henderson this summer, which also I kind of like.
Yeah, sure.
So if we say that Oladipo has one of the lowest ceilings of any of the top five draft picks, then that really makes the most sense for Charlotte because they don't – my worst concern for Charlotte is that they improve just to the point where they get into like eight and then they wind up not getting one of these guys next year. Like they've got to get one of the – there's like four guys that can get next year that will help them. They got to get one of them.
Wow, you really want this. You really want this for them.
I do. I really want this. I feel horrible that their draft history – their draft history gives me the sads, Zach.
Yeah, it no. It's me sad. There's nothing happy about it. I mean, literally nothing happy about it. Fifth pick, Phoenix, I'm doing this to you because I love you. Well, I don't love you, but I'm doing this to you as a favor. You need to tank. You have no I just don't think Phoenix has any talent. So they also need a Wiggins, a Parker, a Randall, one of those guys, an Aaron Gordon. So I'm giving the Phoenix Suns Alex Len with the fifth pick in the pick and roll mock draft.
Wow.
Let's say he becomes something. Then that's a good pick. And if not, you suck anyway, and you're trying to tank for next year. So there's no worry about improving.
Yeah, and I mean,
actually, that would be a great slogan for their media guide this year. There's no worry for improving.
There's no worry for improving. I hate Len as a prospect, and I feel bad because it's like I'm sure he's a nice kid, and I don't want to be overly mean to him, and he could wind up being great. That's one of the things I've been trying to explain to people is I'm like, look, somebody from this draft is going to be amazing. It's what happens. Somebody from the draft is always really good. There's never a draft that you're like, oh, everyone's terrible. Like 2000, there were even guys that were good in that draft. But man, I just don't see what Alex Len gives you at all. But he is tall,
I think he could end up being a good defender.
Yeah,
I think he's got some potential.
I mean,
there.
Alex Len or Jonas Valanciunas.
Give me Valanciunas.
Would you question if the Suns took Trey Burke? Would you think it was a bad pick?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I think that I like them taking a point guard.
I think he'd be the best player on their team. Well, no, they still have Dragic. I mean, if they could trade Dragic. Dragic is better than Burke right now, but I think in a year or two, Burke's better.
Oh.
I'm really high on Trey Burke.
Which leads us into the number six pick, which is easy for me. And I think that this makes absolute sense, and there should be absolutely no question about it. The New Orleans Pelicans take Trey Burke.
I am proud of myself. In our draft needs post, I did write Hornets, and you had to correct it for Pelicans for me. But on my little piece of paper here, I did write NOP. I remembered they're the Pelicans. You're right. That's such an easy call. That's probably the easiest pick of the draft, is with based on what they need, based on the player available. Trey Burke. If you can get anything out of Eric Gordon, That's a really nice offensive team with Trey Burke, Eric Gordon, Anthony Davis, and even when you throw Ryan Anderson out there in the lineup, that's a lot of firepower.
Yeah, I think it makes all the sense in the world. It gives them options with Eric Gordon. It gives them options with Grievous Vasquez. It gives them options with Austin Rivers. It makes a really great combination. And Burke, if he works out, is going to be – he's one of those guys you look at and you target and you go, that guy could be a star. That guy could legitimately be fantastic in this league.
Yeah. I was talking about this with Ethan on the podcast yesterday, and this surprised him, but I want to know your take. I said that that the weakness for Burke is he's not a natural point guard. He's more of a scorer. Do you think that's a fair assessment, or do you disagree?
No, you and I are on the same page there. I think that he definitely is one of those guys that looks for his shot way more instinctually. There have been instances over the last couple of years where guys come out and looked like he was going to be a pure gunner and has developed it and has looked like more of a passer, and not just Steph Curry. There's been other guys that have kind of had that profile where it's just like on their college team, they're like, no one can stop me, so why am I not going to score?
Right, yeah.
But I do I think part of it for me is I like Burke as a combo scorer. I like him as a combo guard where – you know, he's just creating for himself. If he's able to make the easy pass, I like him as – let's piss off Blazers fans. I like him as a better Damian Lillard.
Oh, so wow.
That's kind of the approach that I end up looking at.
Oh, just remember, at Matt Moore CBS, not at Talk Hoops, at Matt Moore CBS.
I'll just tag you in one conversation. You'll be stuck in it the whole day.
All right, I got the Kings with the seventh pick, and I really expected him to be off the board, so I was going to go Michael Carter-Williams for them because they need a distributing point guard, and I think Carter-Williams fits in perfectly with that team. But Anthony Bennett's available. I'm going to go Anthony Bennett. I think that I think he's too good to fall past the top seven, and I don't know that he's going to be a good pro, like an all-star or anything like that, but I do like his game enough to where I think putting him next to – I even think you could run out lineups of Cousins, Jason Thompson, and Anthony Bennett and have it work for a couple of minutes.
This is an interesting question. Do you like Cousins as a five or a four better, ideally?
I would say a five.
Why?
I think that he's not a shot blocker, but I think he's so good at taking charges that he'll pretty much always be in the right area moving forward with his career. Like as he learns the game better and hopefully matures and calms down a little bit, I think he's going to be great positionally on defense. And I think it allows you to get more aggressive three and four defenders to kind of create a little havoc.
I really like stacking them a big, tall shot blocker next to him. That's what I like. I like having Cousins be able to work from the triple threat position short, like baseline, like 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And then having a shot blocker on the other side to rebound and kind of cover the rim defensively and be able to get easy putbacks. Like, that's why I had Rudy Gobert there, and everyone hates that idea, and I think it's phenomenal. I love the idea of Rudy Gobert because it gives you a guy that understands the pick and roll better than any of the other prospects I've seen in this draft. I know you absolutely destroyed Gobert in your evaluations yesterday.
I don't think he's good. I think he has skills. I don't think he's a skillless basketball player, but his frame is so awkward. I really don't think he can put on weight and just start banging. Like I think he's too lanky with his legs. Like he's never gonna have position, and that's what I don't like about him.
That's fair. I like his footwork as part of it. Maybe I'm off on that.
He's quite mobile. I think he could be a good pick and roll defender. I just don't think he'll ever be able to recover and fight for position on that. But I think he can hedge. I think he can tip passes. I think he can take away passing lanes completely. Like I don't think he's going to be a bad player necessarily. I just don't think he's going to be worth justifying a lottery pick on.
Yeah. The eighth pick with the Detroit Pistons and the Pick and Troll podcast mock draft. I will take who's still available. I'm going Michael Carter-Williams. I'm sticking with my mock draft.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he gets to play behind Calderon and learn what a pure point looks like. You throw him out there in a combo with Brandon Knight, and you have exceptional length, and maybe Brandon will not have to be the one that gets dunked on and has terrible things happen to him all the time. I like his length. Even if he's like, it's one where if you're looking at Carter Williams and you say, I have questions about his decision making, I want him learning behind Jose Calderon. And the Pistons have the guard play to be able to put that into effect. Plus, it means that they don't have to play. Why is my brain doing this to me?
Rodney Stuckey.
He was so bad I forgot his name, Zach. That's how bad he was last year. That's how bad his shot was.
Maybe I'm misremembering this. Maybe it was only a couple of days, but wasn't he shooting 7% for the first month of the season?
Yeah, no, like, we had like a whole conversation about like him shooting 10%. It was an incredible start to a season from a terrible perspective. So yeah, I like Michael Carter Williams. I really like a future backcourt of Michael Carter Williams and Brandon Knight as a combo guard.
So even over CJ McCollum.
Yeah, I like McCollum a lot there. I look at Carter Williams and he could wind up being a distributor. I'm not sold on Brandon Knight as anything more than a combo guard. So basically he's going to be Rodney Stuckey in 3 years. and I like that. I wouldn't mind McCollum there at all. I would think that that'd be a fantastic thing. Plus, it allows for number 9.
Oh, now, I mean, I was all prepared for McCollum to be off the board. I could just easily pick Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Be very happy with the Timberwolves taking him. But now I've got a decision to make. Do I take McCollum for the Wolves or do I take Pope? Here's the thing. I think McCollum's the better player. I think Pope's the better fit. And that gets into the whole, you know, theoretical discussion of fit versus best player available. And I think usually you go best player available. But for some reason, like for the Wolves, I'm just thinking like they have a team. They need a fit. I don't like the idea of taking a 6'3", 6'4" backcourt every night out there and asking one of those guys to defend shooting guards. Like, we watched Luke Ridenour defend shooting guards for the last 2 years because of injuries and because Wes Johnson sucked. So you either ask McCollum, who will be a better defender than Luke Ridenour, but still is 6'3", and then you're asking Ricky Rubio, who's 6'4", to either guard, you know, to maybe guard shooting guards out there. And I don't like that kind of wear and tear. I'm gonna go Pope. I don't even believe that I'm making this pick, but I'm gonna go Pope. I believe in Pope. I think, you know, he had a lot of J.R. Smith in him, but he also had a horrendous team, like a horrendous team around him at Georgia. So I'm baptizing the Pope. He's the pick. I'm coronating the Pope.
Send the white smoke up. Wow. See, because now I don't feel like – I feel like I have to go back and actually – like Michael Carter Williams has just been traded because we have to get C.J. McCollum in the top 10. Number 10, the Blazers are going to take Cody Zeller mostly because I want to see a Myers-Leonard-Cody Zeller combination. That's what I want to see on the floor.
Do you think it'll be like one of those things in movies or TV where two people are just staring at each other and they move in like a mirrored way? Like Zeller will raise his right hand as Leonard raises his left hand, and then they'll do the opposite thing. Like, I feel like that'll be the situation.
That's probably what's going to wind up happening. I want to call that the Huckleberry Finn backcourt. It's a complete whitewash.
Oh no.
Front court, rather.
Oh no. All right, Philly for number 11. I'm going to go McCollum. I know they have Drew Holiday. I think you put those two next to each other and that is a terror to guard.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be really fun.
There's still concerns about two short guards defending in the same backcourt, but I don't think Hanky passes up taking a guy like McCollum if he's on the board, since we apparently butchered this draft.
Which, you know, makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
Which happens often in real drafts.
So, I like that pick a lot. I think that'd be really fun. You have to understand, I'm really huge on – I don't really care about the size anymore. for shooting guards, because I think the shooting guard crop has gotten so bad. Like, there's very few really dynamic guys.
That's fair.
And I really like having, if you don't have a pure point, if you don't have one of those exceptional point guards, I really like having two guys that can create and score for you.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's wrong, that theory. I just, for certain teams, I think it's a problem. I think for the Wolves, because they don't have shot blockers, that would be a problem.
Number 12, Oklahoma City Thunder. I wish you hadn't taken Pope, because that would work out really well there. I'll take Shabazz Muhammad.
Oh.
Sticking with my mock draft. They know that they have a roster that allows them to take super hyped guys and put them in good environments. It would put Muhammad on a winning team. He'd have to learn how to be good, but with his, with his physical skill sets and their positional needs, to me, it just makes a lot of sense. If he wants to prove everybody wrong about it, everybody that's doubted him, Oklahoma is a great place for them to do that, because he's going to have the opportunity in a couple of years when Thabo moves on. So I think that's a really great kind of opportunity for him.
Okay, I like that. Dallas 13, Steven Adams still hasn't been taken, but I'm going to go Sergei Karasev.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you have to feed Carlisle a new point guard to destroy. Like, the beast needs to be fed, man.
All right, are we going to get into it now? Is this what's going to happen?
We're not talking about your egregious and disgusting hate of the good man Darren Collison yesterday on this podcast.
No, I'm sure he's a great guy. He's just a terrible point guard.
He's not a terrible point guard. He's an awesome point guard. No one understands him. Right. He's a misunderstood artist of our generation.
Right. Yeah, no, he's definitely misunderstood.
He's the Steely Dan of our generation.
No, I definitely don't understand how he makes the decisions he makes. So that's a great call. He is misunderstood.
You just don't see the brilliance in his shots. It's not his fault those shots have missed. That's weird physics. Not his fault.
I think here's the reason for Karasev at 13. I think if they can convince him to wait a year, they save on the cap. He'll probably come over right away, but I think there's a chance you can get him to wait a year. And if not, I think you can use him in a trade easily. And if you end up keeping him, I think he's a solid value there. Everyone's high on him. It seems like he's really had a great progression. And I think putting him with Carlisle, worst case scenario, he ends up playing for Carlisle next year. And I think he blossoms under him.
I mean, they're probably going to move Marion.
Right. So, yeah. They're trying to clear cap anyway. And then he's battling Jay Crowder for space. And I like Jay Crowder, but I think Jay Crowder's a backup.
Interesting. Okay.
Last pick, Utah Last Jazz. Pick.
Number 14, the Utah Jazz. They select Kelly Olynyk because I think it's funny. I mean, come on, that would be pretty funny, right? Like, they're just about to unclog the logjam down on in their front court. They're just about to. Let's say it's a white guy. I mean, this is not hard, right? This isn't hard.
No, I mean, I would have gone with a point guard, personally, but I rarely have this kind of reaction, but watching videos of Kelly Olynyk, I actually felt bad for him on the defensive clips. Like, I just thought, oh my God, you have no idea what to do out there, and you're completely overmatched. Like, it looked like whenever if you're driving on a busy road, and all of a sudden you notice that there is a duck in the middle of the road trying to get out of the traffic without getting hit. That's what Kelly Olynyk looks like. He looks like a duck in traffic on defense.
A duck in traffic.
Yeah, he looks like a duck in traffic on defense. I think he's a skilled scorer. I think he can be a nice, like, six-man type scorer. I kind of likened him to, like, a Carl Landry type of scorer off the bench. But he is a duck in traffic on defense.
No one's going to understand on draft night when you and I keep yelling dit over and over and over again.
Or we just start quacking at each other.
Quack, quack, quack,
they're
quack.
They're going to think it's a Mighty Ducks reference. It's not. It's the opposite.
Okay, so that wraps up the mock draft for the lottery. Are there any other guys? You know, it's too bad we couldn't do the rest of it just because I love picks about 23 through 40 in this draft. I think they're really solid.
I like Dennis Schroeder. I actually like Mason Plumlee. I think he could be a nice like third big man. I kind of think he's maybe a little Jason Thompson-ish, and I like Jason Thompson.
I don't like Mason Plumlee. I like Tony Snell. I like all the guards. I like Tony Snell. I like the wing. I like Glenn Rice Jr. a lot. I like Archie Goodwin. You and I both like Ricky Lito a lot.
Oh, that Ricky Lito thing's going to burn me so badly. I know it. I love him, though.
Yeah. I like Alan Crabb. I like Reggie Bullock. I like Tony Mitchell at power forward. I like Jang a lot. I think Jang's going to be great.
Yeah, I think so, too. I tweeted yesterday that if Lito ends up going to OKC at 29, then they'll have two Kevin Durants. That's how much I like Ricky Lito.
You need some sort of tranquilizer for your Ricky Lito. Like something to, you need to be on medication to contain yourself.
It's not going to happen. But so badly do I want Reggie Bullock to fall to the Wolves at 26. It's not going to happen. He'll be gone in the top 20, I think. But that's the guy I want at 26.
I like CJ Leslie. I like Tim Hardaway Jr. I like Pierre Jackson. I like Deshaun Thomas.
Question
like
for you.
Mongo.
Who do you like better? Do you like Tim Hardaway Jr. better or Jamal Franklin? I'm a little torn. I think I'm leaning towards Franklin, but I do like Hardaway Jr. a lot.
I like Hardaway Jr. because of his frame. I think that he's got a good opportunity to add some strength.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, Zach. Are the Wolves going to trade Kevin Love for Deion Waiters, Tristan Thompson, the number one pick?
Well, here are the factors. David Kahn, who tried to trade Kevin Love several times and would have done it if he didn't think like Glenn Taylor would have just laughed at him, over the last.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids,
right? If it wasn't for that meddling owner, he would have traded him any time during the last 2 years for a decent return, because he just didn't like them. They didn't like each other. But the thing is, David Kahn's gone. Flip Saunders is in. Flip Saunders loves Kevin Love. Kevin Love, as far as I know, really likes Flip Saunders. They're building a relationship. They have a great working relationship so far. Flip Saunders is really like kind of kissing his ass and doing what you need to do to reinforce that the organization likes you. Flip Saunders has said repeatedly they are not going to trade Kevin Love. Kevin Love was on Mike and Mike in the Morning during the finals, I believe, and asked, and they had, he was like a guest host, and then they had Flip Saunders on the phone. He asked Flip Saunders, "Hey coach, or hey Flip, am I going to be traded?" And Flip, and Flip confirmed then, "No, you're not going to be traded." He's not going to be traded. They have until trade deadline 2015 to decide whether or not they think they're going to lose him. That's not this summer. He's not going to be traded this summer unless, I don't know, they get a LeBron, a Kevin Durant, a Dwight Howard back. Like, maybe then I could see it, but that's going to be the asking price. Like, they're not going to give it up for 50 cents on the dollar. Tristan Thompson's a nice role player. They already have Derek Williams. Deion Waiters is a prospect. They could instead trade for Marshawn Brooks if they wanted to, who's pretty much the same player. No, seriously, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. They're almost identical. The only difference is that Deion Waiters distributes and Marshawn Brooks doesn't. Everything else is like identical.
Can you hang on a second? I need to get on Twitter real quick. just keep talking. Just don't pay attention to me.
There is a possibility that Thompson and Waiters will be good players. I think Thompson improved a lot last year, and I think there's less doubt about him being a good rotation player. But they're not going to trade Kevin Love for those guys. And I don't blame Cleveland for trying. You might as well try. If you could get Kevin Love for the number one pick in this draft and two role players, you absolutely do that. But to convince – here's the thing. Yelling at you that Kevin Love is just a stat stuffer, or yelling at me that Kevin Love is injured all the time and doesn't do enough and doesn't lead to wins, isn't going to convince Flip Saunders to make the trade. So it's really like a dumb activity. It's a very fruitless activity to argue with you and me about the star quality of Kevin Love, hoping that it gets Flip Saunders to like chime in and be like, okay, I guess I'll trade him. If it, you guys convince me,
yeah,
we don't need
him. Put it that way.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Flip Saunders came out and tweeted yesterday not to believe the trade rumors. Or
LOL.
Or to think first, LOL. It's a sweet idea, but not gonna, it's just not going to happen. And here's the crazy thing. This is really weird, and I know it's not a typical stance, but what if by 2015 the Timberwolves are good? Like I know this is some sci-fi stuff right now, but what if they're good in 2015 and he wants to stay in a place he likes playing? Wouldn't that be weird?
What if time is not a linear concept, Zach? What is matter?
I guess after last night, we don't know what time is.
What is matter, really? What is you asking these big questions on this podcast? I don't think that's really, you know, they want hard-hitting analysis, not super philosophical hypotheticals, Zach. You know, live in the real world. man, the Cavs want to trade that pick. That's all I keep coming back to.
Here's the thing. I don't blame them. The more I think about it, we keep talking. Like, I think Nerlens Noel is going to be good. You have to wait a year to find out, really, because of the rehab. But I think he'll be good. The thing is, we always say, like, oh, this team is stockpiling young guys. How often do we see a young team really make progress in learning how to win? Like, I just don't think we see it enough for it to be a good strategy. And I know you're stockpiling assets to trade for veterans, but if you can trade for a veteran sooner rather than later, I just think that benefits you so much more. Like, not every team can be OKC. Not every team can be, you know, what Houston showed last year. I think that Cleveland using, you know, the 18 picks they have in this draft to stock their roster is just leading for them to have another high pick next year, which isn't a bad thing because you can get Andrew Wiggins. But at a certain point, you have to learn how to win. And that's hard to do with young guys. And so
I think you wait, though. I think you have to be patient. I think you develop the guys until they have the talent, and then you teach them how to win. I think that when you try and skip steps, you run into trouble.
Sure. It's hard to sell them on. I think because of the concerns about losing guys after their first extension – to go team up elsewhere, because that is a reality now. I think it's hard to convince, hey, Kyrie Irving, you're going to lose for 5 years, but don't worry, we'll eventually teach you how to win. And so right. I do think there is a little bit. I agree with what you said. I think if you can get that patience throughout the organization and with the roster, that's huge, and that will work. But I think it's hard to do that. I think at a certain point you have to say, hey, we're willing to get you whoever you need so you can win now, because we believe that you deserve to win.
You just have to make sure that you don't wind up getting so committed to the idea that you start dropping your standards, because what happens is, oh, we tried to trade for LaMarcus Aldridge. Well, that didn't work. Oh, we tried to trade for Kevin Love. Well, that didn't work. And then you start thinking, like, well, what if someone like Carlos Boozer would help? Or, well, what if we traded for, you know, Al Jefferson or one of these – like, you try and skip steps.
Right.
And that's like you have to, you know, if you get an elite guy, then sure. But otherwise, I think that there's no point in adding salary and adding years with guys that are going to cause, you know, make it weird in the locker room because it's like one old dude and then a bunch of pups.
Right.
I think that like, creates a weird dynamic. Like, you have like to be very careful with it.
If the Cavs had traded for Kevin Love, traded that package for Kevin Love, or traded the one in the 19 for LaMarcus Aldridge, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great – like, if you can get that kind of a player for the number one pick in this draft, it's a great idea. But at a certain point, they are just going to have to say, all right, we can't get a deal done. Let's take a guy and develop him.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll be back tomorrow with more draft coverage. We'll probably have some trades to talk about by then, some rumors and conversations and more discussions of that kind of thing. Zach's got a massive piece. You can find it on CBSSports.com front page right now, talking about the big man in this draft and what they mean.
Don't read it if you're a Steven Adams fan.
Don't read it if you like have things to do with your day. And other than that, we'll have a live draft show tomorrow night from CBSSports.com. I'll be on it with Gary Parrott. It should be a good time. Zach,
yeah,
thanks so much.
That should be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I love the draft. It's one of my nerdiest days of the year. I love it.
Should be fun. All right, thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.